Hey everyone, welcome back. And we're back. I'm Josh Townsend. This is A Social Wildlife. This is my first real episode. The last one was just a bit of context on my life. Today, on this episode, I'm going to be talking about toxic behaviour, toxic relationships, and when enough is enough. There's some pretty crazy statistics, especially in New Zealand, for domestic violence. I think it's around one in three people will be in an abusive or unhealthy relationship in their life. A toxic person is someone who causes harm to others through their words or their actions. This is so common, like it's everywhere. And I think over most of my life, if I look back, a lot of relationships that I've been aware of and a lot of friendships I've had, there's been toxic behavior. Obviously, from my last podcast or last episode, there was some extreme toxic behavior, but it isn't always so extreme. Sometimes it's pretty subtle. Toxic people often leave people worse off than when they met them or interacted with them. And I think it's around 80% of women and 70% of men report having a toxic friend or relationship. It's very likely that someone you know is in a toxic relationship right now. And, you know, there's often reasons why those people don't talk about it. Sometimes you can see signs of it, but knowing when that limit is and when that point is that you should leave or do something about it is really important. Another scary statistic that I saw was 60% of teens stay in unhealthy relationships. And the important thing there is that if that behavior isn't addressed and then changes made, that can continue on into adult lives. And obviously your teenage years are such a formative time that if you set those standards around that time, that's what's realistic and that's what you'll expect as an adult. And it can be very hard to kind of unlearn those conditioned behaviors. So today I'm going to explain my perspective on what an unhealthy relationship might look like, what it might feel like if your partner or your friend is toxic. And like I said, this could be subtle. What it might look like if you are toxic. And that's one where a lot of people aren't aware of their own actions and how they're affecting others. I'm going to talk about how to address unhealthy or toxic behavior. And that's addressing it in others, the people that you're interacting with, or addressing that toxic behavior in yourself. I'm going to talk about setting boundaries and kind of when to make the decision to leave, because that can vary from person to person. There's not a best time to talk about it, and there's not a best time to action that decision to leave. That will definitely depend on your current circumstances. I think over my life I would have met like hundreds of people that have shown signs of toxic behavior or have admitted to being in toxic relationships. Even now, I think I've probably got around 3 or 4 close friends that I would say are in toxic relationships or are having toxic problems in their current relationship. And obviously I'd only hear one side of the story. There's some people where I get to see both of them. Yeah, I mean, I can see that stuff because I've been there. As you might have heard, if you'd listened to my last episode, that I have been, in some extreme situations. I've been in multiple toxic relationships when I was dating. And obviously those relationships weren't toxic the whole time. There's aspects of it that were, and there was times where things were really good. But that doesn't mean that toxic behavior isn't underlying everything. And if it is happening and if it is normalized and if it, you know, it might not happen for a while, but all it takes is one situation where that person is triggered and that behavior will come out. And I guess every time it does happen, it contributes to a bigger overall picture. Things generally get worse progressively. So it is something that needs to be addressed at some point. And the earlier that you can address it in the relationship and set those standards, the better. Obviously, there is different levels of toxicity and abuse. I've been in relationships, sometimes they're physically abusive, sometimes they're emotionally abusive, sometimes they'll use threats or their sexuality to try and control the other person. I've been manipulated to and expected to comply through fear. I've had things used against me and people try and make me feel unsafe. I've also been dishonest and I'm guilty of gaslighting people in the past. That can cause some serious issues, and I'll go into that a bit later on. I've got friends that reach out to me who have partners that are abusive, and over a very long period of time sometimes they, despite advice, they will stay. And there's been a couple of people where I've just watched them slowly lose themselves. I mean, even in the situations I was in, I didn't realize how much I had lost myself. And I think the people that were on the other side of it will feel the same. Yeah. it's amazing how over a long period of time you can change. And sometimes you don't know you're miserable, or sometimes you know something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. And I can remember times where as part of my training routine, sometimes I'll put a weight vest on and I'll go for a walk. So in another house that I lived on the hill, I would go for walks with this weight vest on. And sometimes I'd just be walking up through the hills at night and I'd be listening to music, and there was songs would come on and trigger me, and I'd feel almost like choked up, like I was going to have a mental breakdown. And I remember that feeling. Sometimes I'd get that at the gym, and I'd get home and I'd sit in the car and I'd just sit in there for 15 minutes listening to music. And I don't know why I did it. But at the time I had these overwhelming feelings of emotion. Yeah, it was quite a scary situation. I was like, why am I feeling like this? So my adrenaline's up, my heart rate's up, like I'm feeling like I was going to have a mental breakdown. And there was times where I would think about my youth, or times where I'd think about like situations I've been in, and I was like, fuck, I'm so proud of myself for going through that. Or, you know, like I'd feel like I'd lost myself, and I was just like, oh, this is horrific. I don't know what this emotion is, but it is not comfortable. It was like my body and brain needed to have this release, and I didn't know what it was. But it wasn't until, you know, looking back that I was like, wow, I was in a really compromised state. And, you know, at the time, if I'm honest, I was guilty of being toxic while also being abused. And yeah, it was just one of those situations I had to work through and work out. And it took me a very long time to get out of that situation. I think most of us can identify unhealthy behavior. I mean, we know what's right and wrong to a degree. And I think a lot of the time people just try and get away with things. So they might not like a certain situation. They might not like how their partner's acting. They might not like something that's about to happen. And if those insecurities, you know, come up and they start to drive the situation, it's just a case of, I don't think you should wear that, or where are you going tonight, or this and that. And that can sneak up once you've said it. If you get the right result from saying it, suddenly it's like, oh, okay, that worked. Or she doesn't seem upset by that, or she seems like she's okay with it. You know, same thing goes, I want to look through your phone. And he's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Gives it to her. She looks through it. And then it's like, okay, that's a standard that's now set. I'm going to look through your phone whenever I want. Send me a photo of where you are. If there's good reason for this person to ask those kind of things, then yeah, that's probably something that needs to be addressed. Because if that person's been dishonest, that's just a toxic situation in general. I think toxic behavior can come from both sides, and it can come from for different reasons. Yeah, you've got to start at some point. You've got to go back and go, okay, where's ground zero? Where's the bottom line here? And what are we going to do? What standards are we going to put in place? How do we want this relationship to be? I think it's 30% of young people that are in violent relationships actually tell people about it. Most of these people end up telling people about it after they've been in these relationships. We are never allowed to tell someone what to do, how to dress, who they can talk to. I mean, toxic behavior can look like criticizing you for how you act or dress or behave, withholding affection or making love conditional on certain things. Basically, like, I'm not happy about the fact that you're going out with your friends this weekend, so you're not touching me. If they try and change the behavior, if they try and change their partner's behavior or their friend's behavior, and they withhold support or love or anything else until that behavior changes, that is a form of toxic abuse. Threatening someone in any form, in the same sense. So like if they're saying like, you know, I'm going to cut off access to your kids or financial support or any physical violence or extortion, I mean, those threats are all very toxic. Guilt tripping, blaming you for the problems in the relationship or the friendship, especially if they're not willing to look at themselves. As I've said, checking your phone, following you around, turning up places, if you're being treated as guilty until proven innocent, or yeah, gaslighting, which is when someone tries to basically make you question your gut feelings, trying to convince you that you're crazy. I mean, this is extremely damaging, and I've been guilty of this. It has such a severe impact on the victim's mental health, and those impacts will go on for a long time, well after the relationship has ended, because the person is effectively questioning their sanity, and that's something that, yeah, will stick with you for a long time. If you're in a relationship and you're subject to toxic behavior, it might feel like the relationship is one-sided. Especially other things could be that you feel like you're being isolated from friends or family. If you feel like you don't have any alone time, or that if you request alone time, that it's not respected. Time to yourself is crucial. It's the time where you get to kind of like collect yourself and work out what's important to you, and kind of reapproach situations that might have been hard to deal with in the moment. I mean, often the best thing if you're having a disagreement with someone is to get some space and then come back to it. If anyone makes a request for time to themselves, that should never be denied. And I think if someone is denying you time to yourself, that's a big sign that they have a really toxic attitude and something needs to change. If you feel like your point of view or your feelings don't matter, or that you have to change who you are to keep them happy or to feel safe, that's also a really serious sign. You should never feel worthless. You should never feel unattractive. Your relationship should not give you low self-esteem. I mean, relationships and friendships are there to build you up. These kind of situations, you don't want to be around anyone that makes you feel worse about yourself. If that relationship or friendship stops making you happy and instead starts to consistently make you feel sad, angry, anxious, or afraid, it's probably toxic. Yeah, it's surprising how long you can stay in that situation, in that state, just looking for those little fragments of positive vibes. Like, it's almost like sometimes it can be a real dopamine hit. You know, you get that reward. It's like, oh, yeah, I feel a lot better now that, you know, this is who I remember him to be, or this is who she used to be. And then, oh, we're back into that same cycle of, oh, here's all these unreasonable behaviors and here's all these unreasonable expectations. And yeah, I mean, you've got to look at overall, is the relationship or the friendship, is it over 50% positive? Can you identify the things that are making it negative? And just remember too, there is millions of people out there. You definitely, even if you really care about this person, if things are negative, if things are toxic, like, you will find someone else, whether that's a friend or a partner, that will make you really happy. It's almost guaranteed. And in the case of a family member, I mean, that's when it gets hard. I mean, family is forever, but those are situations that need to be dealt with in a slightly different way. We need to be understanding of both sides in this situation. Everyone is fighting their own battles, and both the victims and abusers in these situations have their own particular set of circumstances. I believe there are very few sociopaths in this world. Now, a sociopath is a genuinely evil person, someone who gets a sense of satisfaction out of seeing other people suffer. But in contrast to that, the amount of people with insecurities and unresolved anger or a lack of emotional regulation is extremely high. I mean, almost all of us are guilty of one of those things, but to the extent that it comes out is the difference. And then how it's dealt with is the difference too. It's okay to feel insecure. It's okay, you know, to feel angry or not feel like you can regulate your emotions. But those are the things that we need to work on, especially in these situations, or at least these are the things that we need to make people aware of or make our partners aware of. Everyone wants to feel safe and be understood. And often through abuse, these people are trying to stabilize their own emotional state. So over whatever period of time, they have developed this behavior, and it's self-serving. It helps them feel better in a situation where something is telling them that something is wrong. That doesn't mean that their behavior is acceptable in any form, but it should be understood, and a certain level of compassion does need to be held for them. These people are often struggling with their emotions, and even narcissists want to feel empathy. They want to feel important. They want to feel wanted, but they are just going about it in all the wrong ways. We need to remember in these situations, letting go of toxic people is an act of self-care. Don't settle for a relationship that won't let you be yourself. Being alone may scare you, but staying in a bad relationship almost always will damage you. As I've said previously, I have seen both sides of this. Most of the abusing that I've done was, or most of the toxic behavior that I've showed was around dishonesty. So I was expecting things to be okay when my behavior was not okay, and it was not fair on my partner. You know, not coming home when I said I would, then lying about where I was, that's toxic. Hiding things from people to maintain my current situation, most of the time just catering to my insecurities and my ego, that's toxic. Gaslighting them when they presented evidence of what I've been doing, making them question their own sanity, that's toxic. This stuff ruins people. And over a long period of time, it causes the person to feel unsafe. It makes them feel crazy. And eventually you'll represent instability to them. That person will resent you. And even if they stay with you, it's extremely toxic behavior, and you'll never have the same quality of relationship that you could if you had just been honest and dealt with these situations in the right way. So I've been physically abused. I've been controlled. I've been treated like I was the problem for my beliefs and my family situation. These are healthy things that I can't change. And often there's things in there you don't want to change. And obviously, you know, everyone needs to identify whether the things they don't want to change are healthy or not. But yeah, you can't let someone else tell you what is important to you. I mean, I was often threatened when I tried to leave. I was guilt tripped. They would try and make me feel like I owed it to them to stay, or that I was abandoning them. And I can understand that those feelings, because, you know, there had been negative behavior exhibited by me previous to that. And when you feel guilty about that kind of thing, and someone's saying to you, you owe me this, you know, you need to make up for what you've done, these kind of things, it's like, yeah, okay, I will, I'll change, I'll do what you want me to do, I'll stay. I've even had family who didn't understand the situation well enough previously. And yeah, like I had one family member in particular, like, sit up on the couch and say, like, no, you abandoned her. And I was thinking, you do not know the extent of the abuse that I've been through at the hands of this person. The flow-on effects from toxic relationships often affect the people around them, or the people that are going to be involved in your life in the future. So the biggest one that comes to mind is that future relationships with partners or friends, those people will have to navigate the complex emotional baggage that is left behind by the abuser, or those people might even become the next victim if you were the abuser. If those actions or those toxic traits aren't addressed, you may just end up making someone else's life hell. And yeah, I've also experienced that firsthand. The problem with this is that it can result in you potentially losing a really healthy and fulfilling relationship with someone who could be a perfect match for you, just because either you're afraid to let go or you're unwilling to seek help and change the behavior. Staying in a toxic situation or a friendship will also change your long-term outlook on what a relationship should be. It sets the standard for the future and the kind of things that you would expect, or the kind of things that you would expect from a partner or a friend. Physically, this kind of stress will contribute to inflammation in the body, and it will increase your risk of health problems. I mean, a lot of people in this situation suffer from adrenal fatigue, and they don't even know that's a thing. But the symptoms of that could be things like low energy, anxiety, lack of sleep, digestive issues, that kind of thing. Short term, it can have a huge impact on your self-esteem. I mean, it can cause extreme guilt. It can turn people against you if you are the abuser. I mean, you might notice that people are less likely to want to do things with you or spend time with you. It might just mean that you withdraw completely from social situations. If you are seeking connection, dealing with it in an unhealthy way can mean that you end up losing the support of the people around you. And that often manifests itself in, like, you see people jumping from group to group, or from person to person, and they often end up trying to avoid the bad reputation that they're getting for themselves. There are early warning signs. If the person's really self-absorbed or self-centered, early on, if you notice any manipulation or emotional abuse, if you notice any dishonesty or deceit, if the person that you're dealing with has any, like, difficulty offering compassion to others, or they have a tendency to create drama or conflict, these people often have toxic traits, and you don't want to let the abuser develop a strong emotional attachment to you, because that's when things can start to pick up and get a lot more extreme. I have to say too, obviously, if you are in a situation that is extremely violent or volatile, or you know someone who is, don't just rely on this information. You should seek help from police or family or close friends. There are plenty of organizations set up to deal with these situations. Otherwise, if you feel it can be dealt with, the best course of action is to let the person know how you feel. This is often overlooked. I think people spend a lot of time arguing and back and forth and things like that, but they don't address in a calm way at the right time how that person is impacting them, or how that person's actions are affecting them. It's important to get some space from them if you feel you can. You can always ask to get some space. That is a basic, fundamental human need, is to get space and spend time on your own. If you find yourself not comfortable asking for that, or requests for that are denied, or things like that, that is extremely unhealthy and something that should be addressed immediately. Part of that, again, is setting firm boundaries, making sure that that person understands that this is something you need, whether that's how you feel, how that person's behavior is impacting you, how it's making you feel, or that you do need to get some space. Those are clear examples of boundaries that need to be set. You can spend time with positive friends. Again, if that kind of thing is denied, that's a boundary that needs to be set. Often spending time with people that are positive, whether that's new people that have come into your life or existing friends that you know make you feel really good about yourself. As long as it's that time is being spent with those people in a healthy way, I think that is a crucial thing to maintaining your sense of self and making sure that you get some healthy perspective on the situation that you're dealing with. Remember to forgive, but don't forget. Forgiving someone is a bit more about you than it is about them. Often forgiving someone allows you to feel a lot better about the situation. And then you're not forgetting is more about like making sure that you understand the lessons that have been learned and choosing not to repeat those mistakes, whether it is you that is toxic or the person you're dealing with has those toxic traits. Obviously, making the decision to leave can be hard. And that really does depend on a whole lot of different circumstances. If you have children or you're living with them or that you're financially dependent on them or they have addiction issues or you do, their circumstances, it's a mixed bag. And I think ultimately you are the best judge of when the right time is to do these things. But then again, getting the perspective of family or friends can help you make those decisions and also help you with the timing of making those decisions. Putting a plan in place is obviously really important. Depending on what you've done in the relationship, if the other person is exhibiting a whole lot of toxic traits, it might also be best to address that. Sometimes that person might need you to take some accountability. And that's something I found was that even though I felt my ex-partner's behavior was toxic towards me, I still hadn't taken accountability for the behavior that I had shown and the impact that I had had on her. And once I did that, I felt a lot more secure in my decision to leave. And that's really important too. If you are the abuser, I mean, how do you stop? I mean, there could be a whole lot of warning signs or a whole lot of things going on. You might not actually think that you're doing anything wrong, but if you notice that people feel worse about themselves after they've spent time with you, or your relationships never seem to last, or people avoid you, if people tell you that you're critical of them, that if you feel the need to control or manipulate situations or emotions, if you don't consider how they feel, if you don't apologize, if you're blaming others without taking any accountability or taking advantage of people's kindness, humiliating them, threatening them, not compromising, pressuring or breaching trust, I mean, that's all toxic behavior. And if this sounds like you or you recognize some of these traits in yourself, that's great, because it is actually the first step in changing that behavior. Like I said, yeah, many people aren't actually aware that they're abusing, or they're not aware of how significant the abuse actually is or the toxic behavior. Often you can, if you've been doing it a while anyway, you can start to justify it to yourself that it is okay or that it's manageable. But yeah, it's never okay and it does need to be addressed. Remember in this situation too, you are not a toxic person. It is toxic behavior. It can be changed, but you need to want to change. And often you need a good reason to change. That reason needs to be good for you. It's not going to be enough that the person on the other side of it is telling you that they have a good reason for you to change. You need to have a good reason to change for yourself. You need to want to change. If you're worried, or you feel like you don't know, you can always ask a trusted friend or a family member if they think that you show toxic behavior, or you could give them some examples of situations that you're facing with your partner or your friend and say, look, this is how I'm feeling when I'm interacting with this person. We're hanging out. She always says this to me, or he always says this to me. What do you think? Life is not a competition between you and someone else. People all have different life situations and circumstances. So the best thing is to learn to be happy for others whenever good things come their way. With a positive attitude towards others, you will be able to make better friendships and better connections. And generally, that's what we all want. The most critical part of addressing any toxic behavior, and I mean anything, is to consider what effect your actions are having on the other person. You need to have a level of empathy to really understand the consequences of your behavior. So that means actually really putting yourself in the other person's shoes and going, okay, if this was being done to me, it sounds stupid. It sounds self-explanatory, but like, if the person was doing this to me, how would I feel? Just really, really put yourself in that position and go, if you say to yourself, oh, I would never let that happen. I would never let that person say that to me. I would never let that person do that. Then why is it any different? I mean, I've heard some of my mates and I've heard some people say some ridiculous shit that I'm like, there is no fucking way that person would let that happen to them. Like, no way at all. They would laugh at it. And I'm like, well, so why is it okay for you to do it, mate? Remember to be kind to yourself. Get to know yourself and get to know your triggers. It's the best way to become a more positive person and attract the right people to your life. That's all I've got for you today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast if you like it. Feel free to tag me on social media. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on TikTok. Feel free to submit any feedback or questions. Just uploaded a video to YouTube as well, so feel free to chuck some comments under that. Alternatively, you can send me a DM, email me. You can find these podcasts on Spotify, Apple, Amazon. Hope you guys have a great week. Just remember to be kind to each other. The better the person you become, the better the person you'll attract. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys soon.